Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. A new report fresh out from the White House Council on Economic Advisors. Evidently, the war on poverty, over. I guess it's largely over. Mostly over. And we've won. Congratulations. Poverty, over. Success. Which is weird to me. Very weird. In that, you know, I remember conservatives saying that, you know, the war on poverty was a giant waste of money. We spent trillions of dollars that were just wasted on those people. Now the argument is, hey, we won. Now, interestingly enough, we know what's coming next. More cuts to social programs and gutting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all of that. But now under the banner of we won as opposed to it was a waste of money. So there you go. We won. Congratulations. Anyway, here in Pennsylvania, huge election, probably the biggest of my lifetime, the governor's race and lieutenant governor's race. Scott Wagner wins. Pennsylvania's a right-to-work state within record time. To me, that's the central issue. I'm here to talk about the campaign, what he's finding on the trail. I've asked our good friend John Fetterman to come talk with us. John's the mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania, also the nominee for the Democratic lieutenant governor's spot. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, always a pleasure to be on your show, no matter when and where.
And I know you are out there pounding the pavement, you know, putting more miles on the vehicle.
Yep. My F-150's got about 53,000 miles on it, and just was at Ocean City for a couple of days with the family, and we're on our way back. Stopped at a great Democratic event in Shippensburg, and then tomorrow we're in Erie, and then in Lancaster on Friday. So we're all out across the state.
Yeah, good on you. I saw the picture of you and your family at the beach. It's very nice. What's with the black shirt still? Doing the black shirt thing?
No, it's just a swim shirt, you know. But I had a questionable mole taken off my shoulder and from sun exposure. So I just, it's an SPF 30 shirt.
Look at that. I wear a shirt at the beach too, so don't feel bad. Harpoons, I'm afraid of. But here's the thing. I'm looking at this election, and am I being hyperbolic? Do you think that this is the most important election of most of our lifetimes?
Well, it's certainly the most consequential midterm election that I can possibly think of. I 2016, I think, certainly was the most important of my lifetime, and it went the wrong way. And you see the fallout that's occurring there, and whether it's Mr. Trump's conduct at the Helsinki with Putin, and then the massive threat with the Supreme Court nominee, and even if Trump is impeached or loses, whatever, if he puts a second justice on the Supreme Court, it's got a permanent right slant. And, you know, you have Janus, and then, you know, Roe v. Wade next, and, you know, every policy or every program that we hold dear and has helped prop up the working families in the United States is going to go there, and it's going to go to a stacked court. So it's so much is at stake. And the bottom line here in Pennsylvania, as you pointed out, Scott Wagner, we go right to work the next day, basically, and everything else will follow. So I just tell people, like, look, whatever it is that you care about, it's all really going to change dramatically if Tom Wolf doesn't get a second term.
No, I'm right there with you. And, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, as you point out, the Supreme Court could conceivably repeal the entire 20th century. And I had a conservative friend who, after the election of 2016, said it's going to be really interesting to watch liberals become states' rights advocates and conservatives become federalists. And, you know, we're kind of starting to see that dynamic.
Oh, no, It should never be that way, because the Supreme Court was never intended to be a partisan weapon, and it's been weaponized from a partisan standpoint. It needs to be a dynamic body that comes and goes, leans right, leans left, back and forth, but not a sharp partisan balance the way it is, or will be right now, because it'll take our country in a dramatic direction, and we'll have a state's right for the next 25 years. I mean, Anthony Kennedy is retiring at the end of this. He was appointed in 1987. I'm 48 years old. I was listening to Poison, and I had a speed Walkman. That's how long this man's been on the Supreme Court. And the next appointee will have that same kind of effect. I mean, 1988. Think how much the world has changed since 1988. And that's the kind of, that's how consequential these judicial appointments are. And that's what's so scary and alarming about this whole situation.
No, it is scary. And this is why, again, I come back to Pennsylvania and this election. When you're out on the trail, are people telling you this? Do you get the sense that people are aware that the potential of what we've been talking about is there?
Yeah, definitely. And the crowds I speak to, I'm like, I feel good that they're going to vote. But what they also have to do is make sure all their friends vote and their family votes. And, of course, there's the Fox News uncle on Thanksgiving that's never, I mean, they're not reachable. They're going to vote Trump no matter what. But there are persuadable voters in Pennsylvania, and that's what we've always been about. It's like, look, if you may not agree on every issue or whatever, I think we can all agree that you shouldn't be winking at Vladimir Putin if you're a United States president. You shouldn't be saying these kind of things. You shouldn't be doing these kind of things. And this is a man who ran on promise, and now they're talking about, you have Scott Wagner going to Manessi. And that's one more thing Scott Wagner has in common with Donald Trump. They both use the struggling steel town like my own, called Manessen, for a cheap campaign prop, saying, oh, yeah, we care about these places. Like, you don't care about these places. There's not one thing in your personal, professional life that would demonstrate that you ever cared about the people or these kind of places. And there's just so much at stake. And I'm proud to be on the ticket with Governor Wolf. And I'm proud to say, we've helped build up steel towns that have fallen on tougher times. And the fight has to continue. And we must prevail as Democrats, or we will not. Well, Pennsylvania won't come back from the damage and dismantling that a Wagner administration would accomplish.
No, I mean, especially on the education front. There's a guy who, I remember, and I remember him saying a couple years ago, we could lay off 10% of the teachers. No one would ever miss him.
No, I just tweeted that out, Rick. In fact, Philly.com had a great story saying, we can't keep up with the teacher shortage. And it's like, this is a guy that, we can lay off 10% of them and we won't even notice. It's like, good stuff, right? Good old Scott Wagner. That's a solution, So, so we all have so much at stake, and we can't, we're going to every county. Wherever you're at, geographically, ideologically, we want your vote. We need your vote, and we're not going to ease up until we get the result that we need on November 7th.
Yeah, the hope is I was just looking at a poll done by the Public Religion Research Institute and The Atlantic that said only 28% of young people between 18 and 29 say
that today. You're right. Yeah,
they're absolutely certain going to vote. How do you engage that? I mean, I look at you as somebody who is going to energize that age group, going to energize that base. And, what's the message to them?
Well, Rick, we had almost 900 people come out. Bernie Sanders came to Pittsburgh this weekend and did an event, a rally for us. Almost 900 people in the dead of summer on a Sunday afternoon. So it's really encouraging. And a lot of them were those young millennials.
It wasn't 20,000 like Donald Trump would say?
Yeah. if it was a Trump rally, it would have been thousands and thousands. But 900 people. It was a great event. And And tonight in Shippensburg, it was a lot of older voters. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of enthusiasm, but there was also enthusiasm in 2016. You know, to me, 2016 was such such a disaster. We let it slip away. You know, there's, you know, we're not going to let that happen in 2018. And you know, it's just every county, every vote, it all matters. It's not just Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. It's all counties and every persuadable vote, we want it.
Now, you're currently the mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania, one of the mm-hmm. poorer communities in the Commonwealth. I wanted to get your thoughts on this new report by the White House Council of Economic Advisors. It's basically saying, you know, the war on poverty is over. You know, it's done. We won.
Yeah, and they're also going to release tomorrow that cheesecake and ice cream aren't fattening either. You know, you don't. It's all just absurd. I mean, no one's taking it seriously. And the Warren Party poverty's over because they want to cut all these programs and they want more wealth transfer like the
don't get run over
the tax cut that they passed the $1.5 trillion tax cut. Yeah, so the war on poverty is over and it's all going to the people that already are barely getting by already, Rick, as you know, but an extra $1.5 trillion should help. Jeff Bezos just became worth $150 billion. Three people own as much wealth as 50% of all Americans. Three people have as much wealth as half of this country. And that's a staggering statement. And now you have all these cities competing for Amazon and they pay these kind of wages for some of these workers.
Isn't it disgraceful?
Unfortunately.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it is.
You look at that, and the only word I can come up with is disgraceful.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jeff Bezos could write a check for $5 billion and build a new headquarters in any city he wants the way you and I would go shop for a new cell phone. You know, that's how much it matters in his amount of actual net worth. Meanwhile, all these other cities are providing all these economic incentives, and I understand why they are. They have to compete, but it's like this Hunger Games for these kind of cities, and instead of him just saying, you know what, we're going to go where we can make the most impact and we can really be a great corporate citizen and build up the place and not extract the maximum level of concessions and pit Charlotte against Pittsburgh or vice versa, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. It is really unfortunate. I did want to bust your shoes a little bit. I saw the tie video. I saw the tie video. You've surrendered. You're not going to the tie, huh?
No. We had a lot of fun with it, and Governor Wolf is just a really funny and warm guy, and it was a lot of fun, and got a lot of funny feedback at it. And we had people knitting me ties now, and so we're, if I have to wear a tie in certain situations, I'm happy to do it. I just want to be our next lieutenant governor because I want to have Governor Wolf's back, and between now and November 6th, do everything that we can to make sure that we don't leave any vote, off the on the table, and Governor Wolf absolutely deserves a second term based on the things that he's accomplished during his first term, but we absolutely need him to have another term to protect all those things that we as Democrats collectively value here in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to see you guys pick up a couple of House seats and maybe a Senate seat or two to help maybe actually get some real stuff done.
We're definitely picking up the House seats, and Bob Casey is running a strong campaign, and Lou Barletta really isn't going anywhere. So I'm optimistic, and I there's a lot of enthusiasm, but that doesn't mean that we're going to let up. It doesn't mean we're going to ease off. It just means we're going to go, as hard as we possibly can. I always believe in running like you're in last place, because it's just too important not to.
How can we help?
Oh, well, just get the word out, Rick. You help every time you're on the air. I follow you online, and just I just want people to understand. You know, it's more than just, you know, like, well, I'm going to vote, or it's like, really, like everyone in your circle. It's like, it's like the movie that you got to tell everyone they got to see. It's the new restaurant you got to try. It's like, it's got to be that kind of enthusiasm. Like everybody, you know, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to help. You got to donate. You got to, you know, kick in $50 if you can to support these camps. I mean, there's every possible thing, because it all matters. And some union guys, you know, may not be in lockstep with everything, but it's like, you know, your family's economic security depends on Governor winning, because right to work will dismantle the proud labor heritage and history that we have in Pennsylvania, especially here in Western Pennsylvania, you know, with the homestead strike and all these other things. You know, Scott Wagner could accomplish what Andrew Carnegie and the robber barons could. They could really, really break a lot of labor. And we just can't let that happen here in Pennsylvania. We just cannot let it happen.
No, I mean, you guys should get 100% of labor's vote without question.
That's what we want. And that's some folks gave Trump a test drive. It's been an unequivocal disaster. And right now, it's like, look, we know what he's about, and we have to make sure that we hold the line, like, protect this house here in Pennsylvania. That's what we got to do.
Good stuff. John, I wish you the best. I hope you'll come back and talk to us as the campaign continues. Keep us up to breast of what's going on, and keep us up on the issues.
Rick, you know, text me anytime. I'm always thrilled to be on your – just got done driving back from Ocean City and campaign stop at Chivas Brook, and I am thrilled to be on your show.
Good stuff. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff. One of the truly good guys, in my view, and you know, I'm hoping people will get out on November 6th, march to the polls, and cast your vote. Because look, you know, I think you made an interesting point there. You gave Trump a test drive. We've got a baby Trump here who's running for governor. Don't let baby Trump near the wheel. Bad. Just bad. Nothing good comes of it. Don't do it. That's simple. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.